Right, hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. Today we have a very special guest, as some of you may already see. A rookie to this year's grid, but already taking his maiden career pole position and a maiden victory, and currently leads the Jack Sears Championship. It is, of course, Charles Rainford.
Hello. Yeah, I'm a great listener of this show, so have you had me on?
The pleasure's all yours. You are the first official driver special.
Really? Amazing.
Snapshots in the paddock, but you are the first... Full on.
Oh, well, I'm honoured though. Thank you, guys.
If you don't win the Jack Sears, that is a trophy.
That's a trophy in itself. That's the highlight of my year so far.
Absolutely.
Now, we've got many questions for you today. Some about your career, time in BTCC and before that as well, and getting to know you as a person.
Yeah, amazing.
So I'm sure plenty of our listeners want to know what you're like as a person as well. So we're going to ask some of the more serious ones and then some of the more funny ones.
Awesome.
And ones like that. So, first of all, congratulations, you've already achieved your first win, pole position already this season, and you're currently top of the Jack Sears standings. Have you already exceeded your expectations for the year, or is there still more that you want?
Yeah, there's still definitely more that we want. Obviously, I wasn't coming into this championship immediately thinking I'm going to start, you know, getting podiums, winning a race, getting a pole position, especially was pretty nuts, if I'm honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, we've still not quite achieved everything yet. I've got certain points tally I'd like to hit.
Yep.
Qualifying yesterday is not going to help with that, through no fault of my own, but... That's fine. We'll keep on pushing today. If I can score, well, the idea initially was 280 points. It's looking quite tricky now.
Yeah.
But really, main goal now was to try and get six in the driver standings. That'd be really, really good.
Okay, that's cool.
Awesome. Obviously, in today's standards, every driver comes in at age four, basically. You're similar age to us and kind of got into motorsport quite late in comparison to some of the drivers. How was your sort of entry into motorsport? What was it like for yourself?
Yeah, so basically we build and restore classic racing cars as a family business. Lower end stuff, not like your super high net worth individuals. You know, it's all like MG Midgets, 50, 60 saloon cars, Group 1 cars, stuff like that. So some classic touring cars and a few little small sports cars, you know, not like your crazy AC Cobras and your, you know, multi-million pound Ferraris and stuff like that.
You've got something in common potentially, then.
Yeah, I work for a classic car dealership.
Very good.
Triumphs mainly.
Amazing.
So yeah, I'm well used to being around classic cars.
Yeah, and definitely.
Some of the more modified ones as well, which is really
That's
cool.
That's it. Oh, very good. So basically, we did that as a family business. So my dad's a mechanic. I grew up inside the family business. Did a very small amount of go-karting. Never went racing. I was quite good in a go-kart, apparently, but I was quite young. So I was a cadet, so I would have been, between 8 and 10, something like that. Then there was a big gap. And my mum said that basically karting was too dangerous. So that's why there was a big gap.
Mum's ruined everything.
I know. My mum's great, but her nickname for my dad is the handbrake. It's quite entertaining, really. So had a big gap. The idea was then that she agreed that I could race an MG Midget when I was 16. So helped with my first race car with my dad. And then started from there, really. And you know what it's like with classic racing. Like, you only do a race every so often. It's not like a big championship like the British Touring Car Championship. So... yeah, that's how I got into it, really. Started racing then with some of our customers and all kinds of different things, and then got the opportunity to Carrera Cup Great Britain in 2021, which is when you would have seen me with the King Dick livery.
Yep. Which I think children at Lancaster's everywhere suddenly were very interested in watching the performance.
Most definitely. That's a funny story in itself, because we weren't actually allowed to technically have the livery.
Oh, okay.
We didn't realise when we rolled up to Media Day, because we kind of, it was hard to find sponsorship, because I was a no one. We were going to do it as a family team.
Yep.
We didn't have the money to just go and do it. We needed the sponsorship to be able to do it. So we managed to find through a customer of ours, he was good friends with the owner of King Dick Tools, a chap named Griff, ex-motorbike racer, like proper just old school racing guy, you know. He's got his general road car is a Holden Commodore, you know. It's mega. Yeah, it's just awesome. Yeah, literally, yeah. So he's a great guy. And basically got in contact with him. He was able to fund the first part of the season. And then we rolled out with King Dick Tools on the car. And Porsche said, you know, you've got to... pass stuff past us first. So they were okay with it. They saw it more as a bit of a joke, and let us run with it. But first season was a good one.
It was.
I'm glad something so minor as that didn't hold you back from having that kind of sponsorship.
Yeah,
as well.
Totally. I mean, Porsche were really kind to me the whole time through my Porsche racing. Yep. You know, it's an amazing brand to work with. It really is.
That championship has definitely, I think, grown in both talent and popularity in the last
100%.
We see some of the drivers now that. Have been in it or in it again. We've seen Jellies racing in this weekend, for example. So you've had Camish in recent years, and Sherwood is
totally winning. Yeah, Camish was back in 21 when I did it. So that was interesting to race against him. It was now it's interesting to see my progression in terms of how much quicker he was over one lap, but how he just completely outdo me in the races.
Yeah,
like he'd be put the car in a position. I go, oh, okay, I didn't know you could do that kind of thing. and then now actually racing with him on a level playing field, you know, we're racing properly. Yeah, so it's good to see my progression there as well. It's pretty
absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And was it always the touring cars that you wanted to then go into after Porsches, or was it a spur of the moment kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, with the British Touring Car Championship, obviously, it is an incredibly cool championship. Yep. And when we first announced that we were going to be doing it, it wasn't the first initial plan.
Okay.
Basically, the initial plan was to go try and do GTs, like a lot of Porsche drivers do.
Yeah.
But the budget is pretty crazy, and I have a really good relationship with the guys and girls at West Surrey. And then, the opportunity came up for a seat. So I initially saw it as a sidestep to get into popularity and then move on through to international GTs and hopefully try and get to WEC is the main goal.
Yeah, okay, cool.
But now I'm here, I've won a race, and I've got a pole position. I'm like, I could win this. So I'm going to be here for a while now because this is an amazing championship.
You've caught the bug for them.
I have. I absolutely love it. I watched this championship growing up. You know, my time was kind of like 06, 09, 010 kind of thing. Yeah, as well. I was watching it massively.
We want to jump ahead to a question there and say, who was your touring car hero?
Yeah, growing up. Colin Turkington, who I see now basically most days. It's amazing.
That's really cool.
Yeah, literally sit in the truck and I've got his data in front of me from the last couple of years.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and then I overlay mine at the top. And then it's weird to think, like, in some places I'm quicker. It's like, oh my word.
He's
like,
a four-time champion.
Literally, like, I know the cars are a bit different this year, but like, we're looking at the speed traces and stuff from last year compared to this year in like an FP2.
Yep.
It's like my lap was like mega. And I'm like, but that's Colin Turkington, you know? It's just unbelievable.
Really cool. Yeah, that is really cool to work with your heroes and
totally.
And then be able to compare yourself to them.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
100%.
Yeah. So we've seen this season many different drivers grace and depart the grid, unfortunately, due to various reasons. And we are fully aware that sponsorship is such a big element to be able to race in the BTCC. How have you found it, trying to gain sponsorship and build those relationships to give confidence to people to give you that money to go racing?
Yeah, it's really, really tricky. I'm very lucky that I have a major sponsor in Cognition Land and Water, Richard Hosking and Susie Hosking. Like, they're amazing to me. They've been a part of my career since the end of 22. And you know, they're just such a giving family towards me. It's amazing. And obviously I've got Tens Material as well, but it's a really, really expensive hobby, technically.
Yeah,
you know,
none of us
we're not getting paid to be here.
No.
And it's tricky, you know, like, I didn't quite have the full budget this year, so I put my house deposit in. You have to back yourself, you know. But I'm lucky in a way that I also drive a coach as a daily job.
Okay,
so I'm at race circuits pretty much every day, coaching whoever. If you're a very experienced racer or want to get into racing for the first time or take your racing license, that kind of thing. So I meet the right people a lot of the time and then end up coaching them. And then something normally happens on the side of that is a nice way of doing it. Because putting a sticker on the car, even in a championship as big as this, makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. There needs to be some kind of return investment, and how you capitalize on that return investment is tricky.
Yeah,
but some drivers are better than others, and I'm kind of somewhere in the middle.
I was stunned by how much it is. A couple of years ago, particular drivers that sponsored, we inquired, thinking, oh, we put the podcast on the what is a helmet, and the cost that came back sort of made us go,
wow.
Yeah, no.
It's really expensive.
There's a lot of zeros involved.
Yeah. There's a lot of zeros. Yeah, I think my first package starts at 5 because it has to, because otherwise it's nothing. Like, a headlight on my car is £1,100.
Try not running into people.
Well, you say that, but yesterday someone flicked gravel at me and it did one of my headlights.
Oh,
so I've got that bill next week.
That's the thing, is that there is so, like, I remember last year of Ingram and the stone through the radiator.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
You can drive the perfect race and be the cleanest, and then a cone goes through the front.
Yeah, exactly. That did no damage. That was amazing. No damage at all. Absolutely hilarious. That really was.
What is the best part and the worst part of the weekend? Take having a bad quality or a bad race outfit.
Yeah.
So generally, what's the best part of a
I do my race weekends a bit different to other people. Like, normally it starts depending on the work schedule. Like, this one, is the prep had to start a little bit late because I was working away on Monday, Tuesday. Silverstone Monday, and then was I on Tuesday? I've forgotten now. Goodwood.
Okay,
so prep had to start a little bit late. So we started to prep on Wednesday, and then we were doing Shakedown on Thursday. So straight after Shakedown, I came up here and then just helped the boys put the flooring out, we went for dinner, that kind of thing. Then a Friday is normally all media in the morning, like we did a commercial for Optimal.
Okay, yeah,
Optimal,
yeah, yeah.
Premium filters. I'm there, it's still in there. And then, yeah, then we have our engineering briefing, and that goes through to the evening normally. We then go through our track walk. I then record my track walk podcast.
Yep.
And then we get through to Saturday morning. And Saturday morning is really, really fun because there's no pressure driving the car. You're doing FP1, yeah. FP2. We all want to be at the top. Of course, yeah, of course. We do, yeah, but yeah. It doesn't matter.
You can try different things and different lines.
Exactly. Like I tried something different in the car for FP2 at the start and I hated it, but at least you do it in
you
a practice.
You can rule that out and go, right, never touching that again.
Totally.
Chuckle that out.
Exactly. Yeah. Like that was awful, not doing that again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, there's pressure starts coming qualifying. The biggest bit is to get through Q1. Once you get through Q1, you can kind of relax a little bit, especially when you're in that fast six. And then, yeah, Sunday's always a strange one because it's the busiest day in terms of, like, there's the most amount of people here, but we have the smallest amount of time.
Yeah.
Because we've got three races, we've got still media duties with, like, engineering briefings afterwards, as well as Q&As and stuff like that with the hospitality stuff.
Yeah, of course.
It's a condensed day, so you know about it in the evening once you get home.
So, obviously, you've come into the BMW this season. What are the major differences that you've seen between that and racing the Porsche for the last couple of years?
Oh, gosh, it's how good everyone is. Like, obviously, we're just saying about how good the Porsche Championship is, but it's really hard to overtake because you get quite a lot of aero wash in the cars. They're big cars, you know. That's why it's, unfortunately, quite processional at times, just because the car's so quick. You get a bit of aero wash, and it's pretty easy to lock up. So it's one of those things. Whereas with the touring cars, you know, like today, like, all right, yes, I'm really disappointed starting 15th, but I know I can still have a good day if I play my cards right and we get the strategy right and all these things. So it's the racing itself and how hard it is generally as a championship. Like, you've got to fight for every single position. Like, it's madness. And of course, like the crowds love, you can have a bit more push and shove, which is both good and bad. It's good in terms of spectating, and it's fun because, you know, if you touch a car a little bit, it's not the end of the world as long as you don't take the mickey with it. But then the damage bill comes at the end of the weekend, and that's not so great.
I suppose every driver's got their different limits, haven't they, to where they'll push the envelope and where they won't. And obviously, that's
totally
in Porsche. I think you're right. You see generally less contact because
100%.
The consequences are generally a lot bigger. Bigger crashes, we see some pretty bad
Porsche crashes.
There's been some big ones this year, isn't there?
Yeah, I remember the one at Brands, which went over the Marshall.
Oh, yeah, Angus Whiteside.
So you don't tend to touch wood, see that in the touring.
No.
You know, you still get some big smashes, but it's not necessarily as big or catastrophic as a Porsche crash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, the one that went over, landed in the tree.
Yes.
That was Will Martin, and that was Theo Egerton, literally giving him the smallest of touches.
And they just flew up.
Boom.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
it looks quite under control until it goes wrong.
Yeah,
and then you realise how fast everyone's going.
That's the thing as well. I think if you only watch on telly, the Porsche don't look that quick. When you come hit to the, I mean, particularly at Silverstone, because it's basically just a NASCAR circuit that you race around. I hate Silverstone layout.
We'll see how we go. I don't know if I like it yet. We'll wait for that for FP1.
But yeah, they're so quick. They are. Those Porsches are ridiculously fast.
They are fast, 100%.
Yeah, lap time wise, they're near enough equivalent, if not a little bit faster than these at some places.
Yeah, most places, to be fair, it's between 3 and 4 seconds, sometimes 5 in its long circuit. So in some places, like, for instance, Snesterton, where there's no big curbs that we can take to try and tidy that bit up and get an app time there, then they can be up to 5 seconds quicker on the right day. They're rapid.
So coming into the season, who did you sort of like pinpoint as possibly going to be your biggest rival?
Being
a rookie as well.
So it was really tricky. Like, firstly, I wanted to be best of the rookies.
I think that's happened.
So that's really, really good. Exceeded my expectations. I think now I'd like to be the best second person in the team, if you know what I mean. So, like, Jake is our number one driver.
Yep.
He's the quickest. He's the most experienced.
He's the riding champion.
He's the man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
Jake. Yeah. Jake's the man.
He's been in the sport a long time as well.
Totally. But then you've got the same at like Virtue with Tom or Ash. Obviously, Napa's a bit of a thing in its own because all the drivers are, you know, any three of those can win the championship. Yeah. We've seen Rowbottom take a massive step up this year.
Yeah,
he's done a lot better than every other year.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of like Adam Morgan kind of area.
I'd like
to be, you know, a good solid second at the moment. And then, yeah, if we can get the budget to do it next year, then certainly we'd be trying to kick it from the office as a title contender.
Absolutely.
When you get to a race weekend, do you have any like superstitions or rituals? I know there are lots of drivers out there that have to put their certain gloves on a certain way, or their overalls in a certain order. Is there anything that you
And
if this weekend goes badly, talking to us again.
Exactly.
If it goes well, it's
fine. As long as I listen on a Thursday or sometimes a Friday morning, depending on when I can listen to the podcast. If you guys haven't called me as Jack Sears winner for the weekend, I'll be all right. But not too superstitious, if I'm honest, in terms of like putting my gloves on a certain way or anything like that. I get in the car very early. Yep. That's one thing. And then I visualize what I've got to do in the car in terms of the lap, if it's qualifying or how to overtake in the races. Other than that, no real like proper superstition so much. But yeah, maybe I should add one. Maybe that'll help.
I think you've done pretty well without one, to be fair.
Yeah. Although I did find that actually a fan at Knockhill gave me a plastic duck.
Okay.
In my racing suit, and it basically one of the badges fell off, so I had to take it back to the factory, and then they got it clean for me. And then yesterday I found this duck, and I was like, I was on pole with this duck, so I tried it again. It didn't work. So
I bet it was raining yesterday.
So. Yeah, that's true.
The rain with my name
and a duck, and it still didn't work out.
It's your own fault, really.
Oh dear. With the change of regulations coming in 2027, are there any? And they're removing the restrictions on the cars that teams can use. Are there any brands or models that you'd like to see come into the championship?
Oh, that's interesting. You know, any manufacturers coming into the championship would be fantastic,
because
it has been a steady decline for the last couple of years when I've been watching. And now that I'm in it, it's like, well, there's not really many brands really, many manufacturers really doing this. I would love it if we could do a 2 series. I think that'd be really, really fun. Shorter wheelbase. There's a German one as well, which has basically a slightly different back axle, and that'd be quite fun to use in the championship. It'd also be really fast, which is why I'd like it. I'm very excited about 2027 regs. As long as I can find the budget to still be here at that point. Then that would be really, really cool. And I definitely want to be trying those regs. 100%.
It looks really exciting, certainly from a fan's point of view. Stale might be the wrong word, but certainly to try, as you said, bring more sponsorship, more manufacturers, more brands of car in.
Yeah.
At the minute, it is very, half the grid is one of three cars, let's be honest.
Totally.
It's just the way
Exactly. I don't know it necessarily, though, whether it would change too much.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you can still use on the same shells, and it ends up being. Sorry, we have a small car. Come on, Jake. We have reigning champion Jake Hill on the podcast. Here we go.
I have legit crashed your car.
You're all good, mate. So, I'm not sure whether we would see that many cars initially in 2027 come in, because you can still use fundamentally a lot of the same shells, and it costs a lot of money to develop a new car. I was already asking West Surrey about, you know, what we might be doing, and they gave me the cost of what it is to build a new car, and it's bonkers, because it's so much R&D. When you go to the track, you don't even know if it's going to be competitive yet. So, I think we'll see probably quite a few similar cars 27, but then onwards, we should hopefully start seeing some new shells come in.
The manufacturer will see the lie of the land and go, that looks quite interesting. Maybe we should think about putting...
Hopefully. That'd be really, really good if that's how it works out. It'd be fantastic.
Absolutely.
So, given that you listen to the podcast, when we don't pick you for a Jack Sears win, does it spur you on a little bit more?
No, not really. Oh, we have Dick Bennett this morning. Dick, you're right. Here's the real legend. I said, you're the real legend around here. No, not so much. I always find it interesting to see what you guys kind of come up with, when what cars are going to be good on what circuits and that kind of thing. And normally you guys get it pretty right, to be fair, so it's quite interesting hearing your thoughts. Not so much. Everything you guys have said about me has been very, very nice so far, which is why I contacted you. Otherwise, I stopped listening.
You've not heard from a few drivers. Yeah.
That's it.
If you haven't already subscribed, then do like this video down below, because hopefully with Charles coming on, we might have a few more racing drivers get in contact with us.
Or not.
I'll certainly spread the word anyway. It'd be cool to have more drivers on.
Should we go to the more fun part?
Yeah, we'll go on to the lighter side.
Okay, go on.
You are a similar age to us. I know it might not look it.
Younger.
Yeah, that's it. I look so young. Yeah, I know. Bonkers.
You are younger than
I am. 27, yeah.
Yeah, you wait till you hit 30. Boom. Absolutely.
Obviously, you said you've been sort of like watching touring cars since like the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
If you could build a BTCC dream team, so two drivers and a car from any era, what would you choose?
Oh, that's so tricky. You know what? I would go to 2009 with the RAC sponsored BMW. Yeah, obviously, yeah. You've got to put Colin Turkington in there. Amazing. Are we saying drivers of the period or any driver we can take, same age, same ability
any
now
driver,
and put in?
Yeah,
right. In that prime. Case, I would go for that BMW with Colin Turkington and Andy Priou. Because, okay. Wow, yeah. What a combo.
Yeah. I would like to have seen Priou have more in the... Obviously, he's done wonders in the World Tour, because obviously...
Totally.
I would have liked to have seen a bit more of him in the British Tour. I know 100%. He dabbled here and there.
I think he would have pretty much cleaned up. Yeah, I mean, he is a fantastic driver. I've had a really good chat with him at Goodwood on a day, and we're both sharing a car almost on hot rides. And even though he's so much older than me, he's still right on the pace. Yeah, like, I think he was like 10 and a half off me. I'm like, that is so quick. Yeah, like, unreal.
He's unreal. It's to say, it's a shame we didn't get to see him so much in this series, but I think he'll probably take his multiple world to wins.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
With no restrictions on the championship, hopefully Mr. Gow might loosen them a bit. Which circuit would you add to the calendar and why? So it could be Europe.
Could be international.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
We don't get total permission for this. We're taking
that's interesting. See, a lot of the major circuits that people think of are all big circuits. So you could say Imola, for instance, but the straights are too long for us.
Yeah.
So that just wouldn't be any good at all. Where would we go? You know what could be really fun is, because of the infrastructure there, doing a race around the Le Mans Bugatti circuit.
That could be quite cool.
Especially with the massive big curves through the 4GK and everything. That could be really, really interesting. A little bit more of a bike circuit, but yeah, it'd be worth a go, certainly.
We go racing around Norton and that's tight enough.
Yeah, that's very true.
I'd have gone Zandvoort, personally.
That's good, but again, such a long straight. Such a long sixth gear. You'd need a longer sixth than you would at Thruxton.
Gets
to the point in sixth at Thruxton where the thing just stops pulling. Yeah. It's just like the wind to power is gone. That's it.
But I missed the banking of Rockingham, so I'd like to have sort of.
That's it. Yeah, I know. I never got to drive that circuit. Real shame.
That all the time. It was such a good circuit.
Yeah, amazing.
So we know that you've driven classics at Goodwood. What other race cars do you dream about driving? And are there any specific events like the Bathurst 1000? We've seen Matt Neal go off and do that before.
Yeah.
That you would like to go and take part in?
Oh, gosh, there's too many to even kind of say. Like, when people say, like, what's your favourite racing car? I'm like, okay, what era? You know, what type, single-seater? Are we talking sports car? Are we talking touring car? What kind of year span? Because I'm a massive, massive, massive motorsport fan.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get home from work normally and then just jump straight on the simulator. I just love it. Not just the driving. Like, I build models at home. I love it. It's tricky. Like, when you then say in terms of racing, you know, if I'm doing well in this championship, I feel like I could probably do okay in most things. So I'd like to go try loads of stuff, eventually. Like VX Supercars, a massive one.
Yep.
You know, is say like do some GTs like Bathurst 12 hour, you know, that's really cool as well, or some Fanatec stuff. See, eventually the main goal is to try and get to the World Endurance Championship somehow. Yep. So there's so many different things to go and explore out there. But first, you need to try and win this.
Absolutely. Right, should we finish off some very quick this or that then? The real fun stuff.
Oh, yeah, go on, yeah.
Five racing, five normal. So
okay.
We'll start with the racing. Pole or podium?
Oh, pole, 100%.
Cool.
Slicks or wets?
Oh, slicks, no matter what.
Oversteer or understeer?
Oh, oversteer. Yeah, hate understeer.
A lights to flag victory or a race long battle?
Oh, lights to flag victory. Yeah, if you're in the lead, I love a massive gap. It's just nice. You can just chill and enjoy it. Yeah.
Long circuits or short circuits? Obviously, this weekend we're at Donington GP, which is a longer loop. Do you prefer the shorter iterations of circuits or the longer iterations?
That's really tricky. I don't mind too much. I think it's nice because if you've got good driving technique, then you can get more out of a long circuit.
Yeah.
So generally, I tend to do really well in the long circuits. But then I've got a pole and a front row star around short circuits.
Yeah,
so I prefer a long circuit, but I seem to be all right at both, which is great.
BMW or Porsche?
Oh, that's tricky. That's tricky. Neither would give me any money, so that's really, really tricky. Are we saying race cars or road cars?
Both. Yeah.
Okay, so the way that Porsche do their cup pyramid is amazing into the GTs versus BMW's long history in touring car racing is amazing. Like, I would love nothing more than to have a go in a E30 M3 Group A car.
Yeah.
Like, Oh my word. So yeah, if you're talking GTs, 100% Porsche, because obviously you've got the full program BMW a little bit as well, but the way that Porsche take it from Cup onwards is amazing. If you're talking touring cars, it's got to be BMW.
Fair enough. Right, some general ones there. So takeaway on the sofa or a dinner out?
Oh, that's tricky. See, I like a sparkling wine, and sparkling wine is really expensive. Excuse me, if you go into the restaurant.
Yeah,
take away at home with the girlfriend. Not bad, nice little bottle of sparkling wine or something.
Netflix, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
A bit Netflix, yeah, exactly.
Cats or dogs?
Oh, I love both. Massively love animals. Yeah. But we've got dogs, so dogs probably. Cool. Yeah.
Holiday on the beach or sightseeing holiday?
Oh, sightseeing all day. Yeah. I cannot sit on the beach. I'm full on ADHD, mate. There is no way I could be doing that. Yeah.
Drive or be driven outside of racing?
Oh, yeah, no, I drive everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, much prefer it. I like to be in control of my own destiny.
Exactly like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
I prefer to be driven so I can sleep.
Because also, as well, I drive so slowly on the road, like, right, I just stick bang on the speed limit everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm always like full fuel saving and all that. Whereas I get in the car with some mates, I'm like, can we just calm down, mate, a little bit? Yeah.
Who's the race car driver?
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
And finally, sweet or savoury?
Oh, sweet. Chocolate is my go-to. It's my guilty treat, especially after a big day of training. Yeah, a bit of dark chocolate after a big training session. Can't beat it.
The final question was, what's going to be your guilty pleasure, whether it be food, music, films?
Oh, gosh. I love video games in general, not just simulator. That's it. Yeah, I just absolutely. It doesn't have to be racing games. I just love video games. I'm terrible at Call of Duty and anything like that. But like GTA 6, I'm there with a bit of dark chocolate.
I've got a week ready to take off work.
I think we all have. I don't think the servers are going to work.
And finally,
yes.
Did you keep the cone that came for a ride with you across?
You know what? I should have done. I didn't, and I should have done. No. So the cone went back to the workshop. I didn't take it from the workshop. And then it went to Knockhill.
Yep.
It got put down. Knockhill was a joke. And then, unfortunately, it went in the bin at Knockhill. And
it.
Now, I literally, what I should have done, I didn't even think about it. It was literally my brother told me. He said, why don't you sign it and give it away?
Yeah,
and I was like, I didn't even think someone would want it.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like,
totally.
Yeah. Like, what I should have done is I've done it for a raffle for charity or something.
Yeah.
But it just didn't even come into my head because, like, to me, I'm just a normal lad.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
Yeah.
None of that even comes in. It's like still when people ask me for autographs or photos, I'm like, you sure?
Yeah,
like,
it's
just weird. I can't get around that bit yet. It's strange.
Well, thank you ever so much for your time this morning.
No
really
problem.
Really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
All
having
the
me,
best
boys.
For the day ahead and for the rest of the season. We sincerely hope to have you back on the grid, not just next year, but for many years to come.
Appreciate it. Thank you, boys.
Thank you. Cheers.
Lovely. Thank you.
Mate.